Good evening, everybody. You are listening to WBAI. This is Joy of Resistance. We air on the first and third Wednesday of every month. My name is Karen Anton. I am filling in temporarily for Fran as she is making her way over right now. I am joined here this evening by Sunsara Taylor, and she is a very revolutionary woman that I have just crossed paths with, and I'm interested in continuing the conversation that we just started having a couple of moments ago. So currently, Sunsara is working on several projects, and one of them that she was just telling me about is a freedom ride to the middle of the country, starting from New York City and California, and meeting in the center of the country and making their way down in pursuit of abortion, of saving abortion, and fighting against the conservatives and all of the other people who are basically trying to even close down the last clinics that remain in several states like Mississippi and North Dakota. So, Sunsara, why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
That was pretty impressive. You just heard all that and ran it back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Like Karen said, my name is Sunsara Taylor, and I write for Revolution Newspaper, which people can find at revcom.us. And right now I am working. Very good. We're being reminded of the things that we can't say, but there's a lot that we can say on this radio station that you won't hear anywhere else. So we're going to talk. We're about to launch an abortion rights freedom ride. A group called StopPatriarchy.org, which I work with, we recognize, like many people right now, are waking up to the fact that abortion rights in this country are in an utter state of emergency. We're looking in Texas. They just pushed through legislation in the face of massive opposition that will shut down 37 out of 42 clinics. Like you were just saying, in Mississippi, in North Dakota, Arkansas, Wyoming, and South Dakota, there are five states with only one abortion provider, one abortion clinic in the entire state. In North Carolina, they're trying to pass laws that would close four out of the five clinics. In Ohio, they just passed a new budget that is estimated to close up to three clinics. There are laws pending in Wisconsin. There are new restrictions that got passed and approved by the Supreme Court in Illinois this week. Everywhere you look, women's right to abortion is in a state of emergency, and it needs to be responded to, because if women don't have the right to abortion, if women don't have the right to decide for themselves when and whether they will have a child, they have no more freedom than slaves. You are literally reduced to a breeder, to a baby-making machine.
But they, a baby capsule of sorts.
Yes,
a vessel.
Yes.
It's really interesting because, we live in the big city where it's very easy to just kind of bypass certain attitudes that people have against or for abortion. But now a lot of these states that you mentioned, they're like Mississippi and North Dakota, and the smaller populations, but you know, it's the same problem either way if a woman doesn't have the choice. And how many less options does she have because she's not in a big city either
way? That's
right.
And it's a misconception people have. First of all, it's immoral to think that, oh, we're in New York City, we don't have to worry. It's immoral to abandon the women in these other parts of the country. But it's also delusional to think that what happens in North Dakota, what happens in Mississippi, what happens in Wichita is not going to make its way here. And in this city right now, the abortion facilities that exist, they are protested, they are targeted every single day that they're in operation. And people don't, they take this right for granted, and they shouldn't.
Yeah.
So this is on next Tuesday, actually, very soon, like 5 days from now, we're having the launch of this Freedom Ride, and we're having a rally in Union Square. So it's a chance for people to stand up for abortion rights here in New York City, and also to put a lot of support behind this Freedom Ride as New York City stands with the women
right.
all across the country whose rights are under attack. So Union Square.
We'll get to meet them all the way there.
That's right. We'll be blogging about it. We'll be telling their stories. We'll be projecting what we're finding on the ground. But we're kicking off on Tuesday, July 23rd at 4 o'clock. Okay. In the north end of Union Square, and people should come there. We're going to have abortion speak out. Women will tell their stories of abortion. We'll have abortion providers come and speak about their experience, why they do this, mm-hmm. why they risk so much to provide this service. We will have performances. It'll be a really beautiful outpouring of defiance, of refusal to see the war on women succeed, and of people really coming together and saying that we're going to change the terms of this debate, and we're going to change the whole dynamic of this fight.
And as you go around on the ride, are you also going to be having speak outs in all of the other cities that you come across? Or what is it going to look like from next Tuesday to August 1st?
So we are It's actually going all the way through August 17th. Oh, it's 17th. Going for a full month. No, it's okay. In North Dakota, we'll be there on August 1st. The main stops are North Dakota, Wichita, where Dr. George Tiller was assassinated 4 years ago, where Julie Burkhart has courageously reopened a clinic there. She is under death threat every day. She's facing legal challenges. She's a hero. And we are going there to stand with women in Wichita and Kansas. And then we'll be culminating in Jackson, Mississippi at a clinic which is only open now because of a legal injunction. And it's a clinic that serves disproportionately black and lower income rural women throughout the South. And so that's where we're going to culminate. And then along, we'll be holding rallies and protests. We'll be having dinners and appreciation evenings for the providers. And then there's about 15 other cities that we're stopping on the way, which I won't list all of them, but you can find them on our website, stoppatriarchy.org.
And I'm so excited about that, Sincera. This is Fran, just having been held up by the New York City transit system. And we're going to start the show, and we're going to get back to you, Sincera, and talk a lot more about this.
We're so glad that you're here, Fran.
Thank you, Sincera.
Me too.
Joy of resistance. We're sisters of the joy of resistance. No corporation, government, religion, husband, father, brother, gonna define our existence. Joy of resistance. We have found this joy in resistance. For those who gain by keeping women down, we say your numbers up, don't underestimate our persistence. Resistance. We got a way to go before we're free. We're keeping organized together. We have come a long distance. Joy, joy of resistance. We're sisters of the joy of resistance. No corporation, government, religion, husband, father, brother, gonna define our existence. Joy.
And good evening, Joy of Resistance listeners. And if you're new to the show, we hope you become a listener soon. This is the Joy of Resistance Multicultural Feminist Radio at WBAI, where we come to you on the first and third Wednesdays of the month. And I am Fran Luck, ably assisted in my absence by Sincera Taylor and Karen Anton, who'll both be back with us. Now, the premise of this show is that there is a worldwide movement of women going on in every country and culture on the planet. Women are seeking equality, human rights, liberation from centuries of oppression, and sometimes it seems like one gigantic organism that takes many forms. On Joy of Resistance, we try to cover some of this, although we only can scratch the surface given the time. On tonight's show, we're focusing on women in the United States, where we've been locked into fierce battle with religious fundamentalists and politicians that pander to them, and that control a lot of states, control Congress often. And as a new wave of destruction of the little bit of abortion coverage we've got left in the United States is taking place, our safety net is being further eroded. We're going to be speaking tonight with Terry O'Neill, the newly re-elected president of the National Organization for Women, which is our largest women's rights group in the country. And then we'll be speaking with Sincera Taylor of Stop Patriarchy, and you've been hearing something of that very exciting campaign that she's involved with. I believe that we have Terry O'Neill on the telephone. Is that correct?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Terry. It's wonderful to hear your voice. I was very happy that you could be on our show tonight. You were just re-elected to be president for another term of the National Organization for Women. And first of all, congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's really great to talk to you again, Fran.
I feel the same way. I think we both need to speak up a little bit, though. I'm not sure if we got good levels. We have good levels? Okay. So, Terry, as you look around at this really fraught landscape that we're in for women in America at this time, with what's left of our clinics being shut down in so many states, with the social safety net that women are dependent on more than men because we depend on it for our ability to raise children and be in and out of the workforce, so many of us, with that being in shreds, and with this, I think Sincera would call it, and I call it too, the Republican fascist kind of takeover that is going on. Tell us where you think that in certainly your coming term, women should be directing our energies. Where do we start and where do we go, in your opinion?
Fran, I think we need to be looking state by state by state. That is where the most ferocious attacks on women's reproductive rights are coming. And let me just say parenthetically, the only reason it's coming at the state level is because we have friends in the Senate who can stop bad bills coming out of the Republican-dominated House of Representatives at the federal level. So for right now, we're able to stop the worst of the worst bills in the federal government, and that is why at the state level, that is where the right wing is being just really, really ferocious, really determined. I personally think it's a little bit puzzling as to why the Republicans are doubling down on their war against women. We saw in 2012, the pundits were surprised, the predictions were proven to be false, that that many pro-women's rights supporters would be defeated in the 2012 elections, that President Obama would not be reelected in the 2012 elections. And what we saw was that the Republican war on women resulted in substantial losses in the Republican Party. What has been their response? Well, what they've done is double down on their policies attacking women's rights, and they've made some effort to soften their rhetoric, but it's largely a failing effort. And it's not just on women's rights that the Republicans are doing this. You notice that they are systematically killing off immigration reform, even though what came out of the Senate was deeply centrist. It was really not what it was not the best bill that my organization wanted to support. But even this very centrist immigration bill is being killed in the House of Representatives. It's as if the Republican Party doesn't understand that they are alienating an entire generation of women that will take them many, many years to overcome. And they are alienating an entire generation of Latino voters. It will take them a long time to overcome that. My only explanation for it is that they are so afraid of being primaried from the right that they feel that they're better off doubling down on their war against women than sort of waking up and saying, you know, we really need to start having some respect for women's rights. So what we need to do in the women's rights community is make them pay. Make them pay in a holistic way. So in other words, long term, we've got to make them pay. We made them pay some in 2012. We need to make them pay again in 2014 and again in 2016. My organization has declared we want a feminist woman president in 2016. But we need to make them pay again in 2018 and again in 2020. We need to win big in 2020 because redistricting is where it's at. Redistricting in 2010, they won that battle in 2010, and it's killing us right now. So we need to be smarter and more long-term and really have a vision for 2020.
Let's go back a little bit to what exactly they are doing in these state legislatures, because we are down to like one clinic left in Mississippi.
Right.
We've got about, what, we'll have about five clinics left in Texas, a state of 26 million people.
Right.
If and when this law that there's been such a fight back on, thank goodness, when it passes, and then we're pretty sure it will pass, that's going to be five clinics left. There's two clinics in one state. There's no clinics in some states. I think Sansara has the exact facts and figures. Okay, so we are down to where abortion rights that we fought for and we won in our movements are like on a piece of paper, okay, for so many women, all right? It's a state of emergency.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do in the immediate future to start to turn the tide? Because obviously enough voters are electing these people and are putting up with this and are this confused they have gotten this advantage. Go ahead, Terry.
In terms of the voter confusion, definitely there's voter confusion. Our side doesn't use women's access to reproductive health services as a litmus test. their side very often does. But I think even more important on the electoral front is the domination by Tea Party extremists funded by billionaires like the Koch brothers and corporate-funded organizations like the American Legislative Exchange Council, a very focused effort to gerrymander electoral districts, state legislative districts as well as congressional districts. If that gerrymandering had not taken place after the 2010 elections, okay, with the congressional redistricting, Nancy Pelosi would be the Speaker of the House today. If you look at the voting patterns in key states where redistricting was controlled by Tea Party Republican extremists and in Pennsylvania, in various other states, the Republicans assured themselves of very safe districts, and if sort of fair drawing of congressional district lines had occurred, though many more districts would have fallen into Democratic hands in the 2012 election. So we absolutely cannot I think we can't overestimate really the importance of the strategic gains that these corporate billionaire folks achieved in 2010. Now, well, it's also true that we've got to, on our side, we have to do a better job of doing two things: educating voters about what's at stake for women's rights in these coming elections, and mobilizing voters. I think we did a pretty good job in 2012. All the predictions were that the so-called Obama coalition, young people, communities of color, immigrant communities, and unmarried women, that they would just sit home. But they did too much, but they were mobilized sufficiently to put us over the top in a number of elections.
Yeah. Well,
we have to do a better job. But we've got the demographics on our side.
I think that the redistricting is important, but as you well know, in 2004, many blue dog Democrats, as they were called, went with the Republicans. So that wasn't a matter of redistricting. That was a matter of some kind of steamrolling effect of this war on women. That's the cliche name for it, but what it really is like a reassertion of a basic older structure of society, right? You know, man, woman is to be, stay home and have babies and be subservient to her husband, and the Baptists and many other denominations come out and say this out front. So we have a kind of cultural phenomenon and an appeal to a reactionary mentality that I think is at least as much of the problem as, you know, something that is more technical like redistricting.
I don't disagree with that. I think that has been a huge effort, is to sort of move the country philosophically, I guess, or culturally in that direction. But Fran, I'm telling you, the effort is there. There has been an enormous amount of resources putting into moving us in that direction, and it's failing. It's failing. Here is one indication that it's failing. So the Catholic bishops have this absolutely outsized influence on the United States Congress. In the 112th Congress, we're now in the 113th Congress, but last Congress, the 112th, they actually got a vote in the Senate to restrict, they had a bill to restrict birth control. We stopped that bill. We defeated it in the Senate. But that's how powerful the Catholic bishops were. But there was a national spotlight put on these attacks on access to birth control, and what we began seeing was, in the polling, increased popular support for abortion rights following attacks on birth control. It's a very interesting phenomenon. So on the one hand, people do seem to be voting in as if we're culturally moving to the right, and clearly we are losing policy battles in state legislatures, but the people are on our side. So what we have to do on our side is mobilize them, engage them, deepen their commitment to seizing back the power that has been taken from them, I believe, illegitimately by far-right forces.
Let me tell our listeners that they are listening to WBAI at 99.5 FM in New York City. The show is The Joy of Resistance, Multicultural Feminist Radio at WBAI. And tonight we are discussing the very grave situation that U.S. women find ourselves in as almost the last of our right to self-determination, to decide when and if we have children. The right to terminate a pregnancy, to abortion, is being so eclipsed that it is virtually inaccessible to most women. It is more and more becoming a right in theory only. And we're also talking about some other issues that we face at this point in the United States. My guest is Terry O'Neill. She was just re-elected president of the National Organization for Women, which is the U.S.'s largest women's rights organization with over 600 chapters. And I say they're a grassroots organization because unlike organizations like Planned Parenthood or NARAL, et cetera, they actually have a membership which actually votes, which actually gets together once a year and votes on policy, which most of these other organizations, well, that's not their structure. So it's very important to have these grassroots organizations. And we're looking at what we need to be focusing on right now. Terry, I have in the studio with me Sansara Taylor, who is very involved in something called the Abortion Rights Freedom March, which she was talking about a little while ago. And I'm going to invite her into the conversation also. And I also do want to say, Terry, that I do not have the kind of faith in Hillary Clinton as a feminist president that you are manifesting, because I think that Hillary Clinton would dash the hopes of women in the same way that Barack Obama has dashed the hopes of black people. I think it would be a very, very, very parallel track there. And while I think it would be just terrific to see a woman as president in a, you know, a kind of role model sense and a kind of milestone sense and all that, and yes, part of me would be very elated, I am not under any illusions about how presidents are bought and paid for by the system and indeed wouldn't be allowed to be chosen to run and win for the presidency were they not. So what would you say to that?
You know, I understand your concerns, honestly, Fran, and I actually share them in some measure. The National Organization for Women endorsed Barack Obama for president when he won the nomination, even though we understood that he politically was a centrist. We were told by our people in Illinois that his voting record in the Illinois Senate was the record of a centrist. We looked at his record, a very short record in the United States Senate. As opposed to looking to his rhetoric on the campaign trail, we looked at his actual voting record in the United States Senate, and we knew that he was a centrist. Hillary Clinton is no flaming feminist like I am. There's no doubt that she is not. It's not clear to me that she would have been elected senator from New York had she been a flaming feminist like me. So I do share your concerns. I especially, frankly, have concerns around economic justice issues. I know that Senator Clinton voted for a terrible, bad, awful bankruptcy bill. And we lobbied her heavily, mm-hmm. like we lobbied all the members of the Senate to vote against that bill. So there's a number of her record is in my view, clearly not perfect. That doesn't mean that we would not endorse. We endorsed her in the primaries for president, and that doesn't mean that if she ran, we would not endorse her again for president this time around, even though we do recognize limitations. I guess my feeling is that overall, and of course, you know, if she decides to run for president, we have to look at what she says her program is. I mean, that's going to matter. Her actual voting record and her declared platform will be the two most important
yeah.
considerations. But you know, I'm telling you, I will absolutely hope that the PAC, my PAC, will vote to endorse her again if she has the right platform, even though we know she's not perfect.
Yeah. Okay. And I think, you know, what do they say? God is in the details.
I know.
The yeah. nature of those imperfections may loom large. I want to invite Sansara Taylor into this discussion and have her give some of her opinions about what you've been saying and her own point of view. Go ahead, Sansara.
Well, I'm like many people. I'm kind of right now reeling from the verdict that was handed down around Trayvon Martin, which was just a green light to open season on black youth, a modern-day legal lynching. I'm aware of the fact that there are 30,000 prisoners in hunger strike against solitary confinement, which is torture in the California prison system. There's the Guantanamo hunger strike and the torture that's gone on there. And then we're in a state of emergency around women's abortion rights. We live under a system that says if you are a woman, you have no rights. If you're black, you have no rights. If you're a fetus, everything stops. I don't think there's any legitimacy in a system that does that. And I don't think that it's just who we vote for or the redistricting or the Koch brothers or the funding. We've been in a losing trajectory for decades on abortion rights. We've been in a holding pattern where yesterday's outrage becomes today's compromise position and tomorrow's limit of what can be imagined. The fact that there was a battle over birth control in 2013 and 2012, that is insane. That's not progress. And then I'll tell you, after that battle over birth control, Obama, your centrist, who's very, very far to the right, he's basically carrying forward Bush's program, he invited Timothy Dolan, the head of the Catholic bishops, to give the closing prayer at the Democratic National Convention. This is abhorrent. This is fundamentally opposed to the interests of women, to the interests of oppressed people. I think we need an actual revolution. And right now we need to be fighting the power and transforming the people for revolution. And I would just say around abortion, we need to reset the whole terms of discussion. We need to be talking about abortion. We need to be telling the stories of abortion. We need to be declaring abortion on demand without apology, changing people's minds, coming out of the shadows, and we need mass political resistance. We need people in the streets. We need people fighting. We need people defending the clinics. We are in a state of emergency. The doctors on the front lines, they are getting death threats every day. And people need to stand up and stop the illusion and delusion of relying on elected officials and politicians and court orders, because it hasn't been working.
Yeah. Okay. I want to go now to a little bit of the fight back that's been happening in Texas around this absolutely draconian bill that they have just about passed. And there's been a lot of fighting. It was defeated. And then in a special session of their legislature, they came back to debate.
Utter disregard.
Unbelievable.
For the will of the
And a lot of people fought back. One of them was a young woman named Sarah Slayman, and she was taken out. She was forced out of that legislature, and she just abandoned her pre-prepared speech and just went after every one of her representatives, and this is what happened. Okay, we'll have that in a second. Here we go. Okay, we will.
She was good. It's worth waiting for.
Sarah Slayman.
Here we go.
Thank you, Chair and Committee. My name is Sarah Slayman. I'm a constituent of Senator Whitmire. I'm here to testify against SB1 because I'm tired of Republican primary politics, misogyny, and greed dominating the state I was born, raised, and schooled in. And, you know, I had some really eloquent remarks written out, but you guys have just worn me down all day with all this terrible science and glad-handing. And to be frank, I get to move to New York next month, so I don't have to live in fear of you Texas legislators anymore and what you're going to do to my education system or my health care system, because I'm going to a state that doesn't kill its own inmates. That's how pro-life it is up there. I will thank you, though, first. It was destiny that you would discriminate against us and try to force your way inside the bodies of Texas women. Thank you for finally working against us women so publicly and not in the shadows like you're used to. Thank you for every single bad press conference with your bad information. Thank you for every hateful statement degrading women and girls to sex objects and broodmares and bald eagles and leather wallets like your eloquent pro-life supporters have done today. Thank you for being you, Texas legislature. You have radicalized hundreds of thousands of us. And no matter what you do for the next 22 days, women and their allies are coming for you. Let's start down the line. Senator Campbell, you're an ophthalmologist, so I won't be making you the expert on reproductive health. We can give you all the children with chlamydia and herpes in their eyes, since we don't have sex ed in this state. And Senator Hagar, you're about as helpful. You are about as... Excuse me. This is my government, ma'am. I will judge you. I will judge you, ma'am. is this counting against my time?
Yes, it is.
The senator talking against me?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I will just go ahead and talk over her. And this is how big of a fraud I knew you were for being so proud of these proceedings all night. It's a low bar that you hold yourself to that you simply allowed us to speak. And I will speak against an ophthalmologist who says, everyone on the internet can see what you're doing right now. This is a farce. The Texas legislator is a bunch of liars who hate women.
Our next witness is Gary Oldham. Is Gary Oldham here?
She's speaking. Of course, she's being dragged out. You can't see that. And one of the funny things, and there were so much absurd humor around this. One of the headlines was a feminist headline, woman dragged out of Texas Senate for calling senator an ophthalmologist. Which is an eye doctor. And then there was the great tampon. Massacre,
yes.
Where they were,
yes.
They were taking away tampons. Sherry, you want to tell a story?
I was just asked, they were allowing people to go in with guns because Texas has a concealed carry law, but they were confiscating tampons and maxi pads from women, and that is a health care product, by the way. They're also very seriously confiscating.
We need a bleed in. We need to go and just bleed.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then there was that motorcycle safety bill that they somehow attached an anti-abortion rider to.
Exactly. In North Carolina.
I think this is getting more and more surreal. You don't even need logic anymore to it with these attachments.
No.
Yeah.
I know. I got an email from an allied organization. I can't remember which one. It was a very short email, and she described the North Carolina motorcycle bill. They would have had these attachments here. She described Texas, and then she says, I can't make this stuff up.
You can't, that's right, you can't make this stuff up. Exactly, exactly. So they have pushed the limits so far, so very far, that now there is a big backlash against them. And finally, I mean, there's a limit to what people can take. So we're finally getting some real movement. We're finally getting thousands of people coming to that state Senate in Texas. And we're getting these Moral Mondays. I think that's in
North Carolina.
Yeah. So all of us on many different fronts now have to really jump in. And, Terry, I want to turn this over to Sansara for a while. And I hope you'll stay on the line. She's going to tell us about the freedom ride that is coming up and something I think everyone should support. Go ahead, Sansara.
Well, I think one of the things that we heard from the audio that you just played, the woman was saying, you have radicalized me, and you have radicalized thousands of women. I can't even remember if it's in the clip you played or in another section of what she said. And I think this is a moment when people are staring and they're recognizing what has been the truth for a long time, but it's been concealed a little bit, that the battle over abortion has never, ever, ever been a battle about babies, about life, about saving lives, any of that. You know that, first of all, because all of the anti-abortion organizations, all the major ones, are all against birth control.
Yeah, of course.
So they've always been, and they actually, at their core, they really want to, as Fran was saying earlier, they want to restore women to the position of property of men and breeders of children, chattel. And that, let's not be confused, that's been the status of women for thousands of years until very, very recently.
That's right.
It's historically very new that women are treated, or not treated, but viewed as, even the idea, we're still not treated that way, but that women are viewed as human beings. And this is what this fight is over. Forcing women to have children against their will is a form of enslavement, and fetuses are not babies. That's just a fact. It's a scientific fact. They're a subordinate part of a woman's body. They don't have a separate biological existence or a separate social existence till they're born. So the fight over abortion has always been about control over women, and I think that's what became more clear to so many people in Texas, is they saw that this was, and that's why so many people came out. And I think this is a moment with the restrictions in North Carolina, the restrictions in Ohio, the restrictions, the threat against the clinic in North Dakota, five states with only one abortion clinic left. 97% of counties in this country, rural counties, do not have an abortion provider. So we're in a state of emergency. And what we are doing, what StopPatriarchy.org is doing, we've been planning this actually for a while. We recognize we're in a state of emergency, but it's become more apparent and more acute since then. We're planning an abortion rights freedom ride. And we are kicking off with rallies Tuesday, July 23rd, coming up in just a few days, in New York City and San Francisco. And then we're sending caravans the next day that hit the road. And we're driving from both coasts, making stops in Cleveland and Chicago and Minneapolis and Salt Lake City and Jackson, Wyoming and Bozeman, Montana. And we're converging in North Dakota right as the laws are scheduled to go into effect that would close the only clinic there. And we'll be there rallying for abortion on demand and without apology, building support for abortion rights, rallying people there and sending in, you know, backing from around the country to stand with the women there, because we recognize that it's immoral to abandon the women there, and it's delusional to think that what happens in South Dakota won't affect all of us.
Right.
And then we're going to, I'll just be quick on the route so people have a sense of it. Then we're going to caravan south. We're going to go to Wichita, which is where Dr. George Tiller was assassinated 4 years ago. And for 4 years, a very courageous woman, Julie Burkhardt, has fought to reopen a clinic. She's finally done that. She is receiving death threats. The doctors there are being stalked. It's a very dangerous situation. We're going there to bring support for abortion rights there. And then we're going to culminate on August 17th. We'll spend the week leading up to it, but Saturday, August 17th, will culminate with a major rally down in Jackson, Mississippi, where there's one clinic left in the state. And that's a clinic that is only open because of a court injunction on a law that would actually have closed it. So this is going to be from both coasts and right down the middle of the country for a full month on the road, building a national counteroffensive to these attacks on abortion rights.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I had Cindy Cooper and the play Words of Choice on a couple of years ago, she so passionately said, you know, what we ought to do is we ought to be having freedom rides like we did for voter registration in the South in the 60s. Where are the freedom rides? And I was moved by it then, and I was really happy when I heard you were actually going to try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is between July 24th and August 25th.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're trying to get people to join you or support
you? Yes, we're having people especially come to the kickoffs on the 23rd in the north end of Union Square here in New York and Potrero del Sol Park in San Francisco on the 23rd on Tuesday at 4. And then we are having people in the local areas host events and protests everywhere we're going. The places that we want to call on people to converge are up in Fargo, down in Wichita. In Fargo on August 3rd, it's a Saturday. In Wichita, Kansas, on August 10th, which is a Saturday. And the culminating major, we want a regional convergence in Jackson, Mississippi, on Saturday, August 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be holding outreach. We'll be doing dinners. We'll be doing organizing. We'll be doing education. We'll be doing all kinds of other things as we travel.
Yeah.
But the big days are those days. And we want people to, and we've heard from people who want to caravan in or fly in. We have religious leaders who are coming with us to Wichita. There are some people who are coming to caravan up from Texas to Jackson,
Good.
Mississippi.
Good.
A number of people in Minneapolis and other parts of Minnesota are coming with us to Fargo. So, and I think that as this goes, it's going to build, and people are looking for a way to make their outrage felt.
Yeah.
They're looking for a meaningful way to act together with others. And one of the things that this resistance does, it is the name of your show, Joy of Resistance, it brings people out of the atomized, individual, isolated acts that this system tries to get people to think is the limits of what you can do, casting a ballot or hoping somebody will take care of it. People come out together and stand up. They change through doing that. They change public opinion through doing that. They change what other people think is right and wrong. When the Freedom Rides happened, and we took the name from them intentionally.
Yeah, I know.
When the Freedom Rides happened, they put their lives on the line. And the people on the front lines of this abortion struggle are putting their lives on the line.
They are. They're getting killed.
They are. And they also, when they did it, they changed what people thought was right and wrong, what they thought it meant to live a moral life. Not everybody, but the ones who are on the right side, it changed with the bar and the threshold. And there's a lot of people on our side, and we have to change what they think is possible, what they think is necessary, and they have to see that there's a voice out there, there are other people out there who are willing to act.
Yeah. Well, with 278 new restrictions on abortion just this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you're very correct in calling this a state of emergency.
It really is. Right now, the legislation they passed in Texas, women will die.
Yeah, women will die. Yeah. So we're, you know, very, very, very fraught place. We are actually almost out of time on the show. You've been listening to The Joy of Resistance. We come to you on the first and third Wednesday of the month. And by the way, we'd like you to follow us on Twitter. And we will send you news from the fronts, the many fronts of the revolution of women that's going on throughout the world. And you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/joyofresistance. Or if you're already on Twitter, go to @joyofresistance. You can also follow our blog at joyofresistance.wordpress.com.
Stop patriarchy is at org. And you can follow us on Twitter at @stoppatriarchy.
Yes. And most importantly, you can join your local chapter of the National Organization for Women, because without this grassroots kind of organization that the National Organization for Women is on the ground
in
your neighborhood.
And we are working with now in a lot of places, and we're very happy to be doing so, yeah.
Without now, we would not have held the front on too many issues for me to go into in 1 minute. And for all of that incredible work, because now the members are now also on the front line, and Terry O'Neill is on the front line, I have to thank National Organization for Women. I have to thank Terry O'Neill and the struggle to pass feminism on to a new generation, because feminism is a coherent body of thought, far-flung as it may seem at times. And it needs to be passed down. We have to build on the continuity of what has come before. And I think I am just about out of time. Is that correct, Uncle Sydney? And we're about to go into our outro music. So I want to thank you so much, Terry O'Neill, the National Organization for Women. Again, go to now.org and look at the continual flow of really important papers that Terry O'Neill, the National Organization for Women, puts out that will help you understand what is going on. Go to stoppatriarchy.org. Support WBAI so that there will not be a commercial